Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, how often are you asked for your name? And it's kind of interesting during the last couple months when we've ordered things online for people, you know, you have to fill in your name. When you ask for something to be sent to your house, you have to fill in your name. And you better hope nobody else uses your name, because with identity theft, your name can be taken from something of great value and be made something that is practically worthless because it shows up on the wrong lists, let's put it that way. So by our name, we really mean two things, don't we? We mean the string of letters that your parents put on the birth certificate that recorded your arrival. But we also mean everything that stands for you. Everything that people think about when they think about you. You know, thanks to the internet, we all know, or maybe it even started back when we had phone directories in big cities, we discovered that there are a bunch of Edward Lee Bryants in the world. Well, one person's name, Edward Lee Bryant, is really different from another person's name, Edward Lee Bryant, because of all the different meanings that are attached to them. For some reason, there are a lot of Bryants in this country that are African American. And what they went through in their life is considerably different from what I have gone through in my life. In many cultures, this latter kind of name, that is, everything that's meant, not just the letters, that latter kind of name is recognized as being far more important than just the string of letters. We just sang about the fact that there is no other name other than Jesus, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Well, there are a lot of people named Jesus, or in Hispanic countries, Jesus. Very common. And we don't mean that they are our Savior. So that name that we're talking about there isn't just the string of letters. It means everything that means Jesus, our Savior. In such cultures, we find that people will change the name if need be. God himself changed Abram's name, didn't he? Called him Abraham, father of a multitude, in token of the fact that he'd been promised that he would be blessed with countless descendants. So that's the context that we need to bring to our recognition of Mary and Joseph naming Jesus. That's the context that we need to bring even to our liturgy. Did you notice how many times the word name was used in the front part of the liturgy, the first part there? We talk about in the name of Jesus we do things. So it is that Mary and Joseph, were commanded to give Jesus that name by the angel. And that name, Jesus, means the Lord saves, or Savior. And, of course, it means even more than that. In fact, if we wanted to say that the meaning of Jesus is contained in something, we would say that it's contained in the whole gospel. All the part of the Bible, that good news that talks about our Savior, who he is, where he came from, what he did, all of that informs that name, Jesus. And so it is that Paul begins his letter to the Romans building on that kind of idea. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That name, Jesus, says a lot. And in a way, the name Jesus says it all. If we really know the name Jesus, we know what it means, we know whose we are. And if we know what he has done for us and what he's given us and what he's made us, well, then it tells us also who we are. First, this name given to this child on this particular day connects two very important things. What day am I talking about? Well, the day of circumcision. For it was on this day when first his blood was shed through that little operation that we're informed that the Savior would be the one whose blood was shed to atone for the sins of the world. Yours, mine, all. He is the object of the gospel. He's the one the whole gospel is talking about. When Paul proclaims the name Jesus, and what Paul proclaims is the name Jesus, and also what we proclaim is the good news that before the dawn of time, when the promise was first given to our ancestral father and mother, Adam and Eve, they were given the promise of Jesus. Age after age, the prophets promised that one day the good news would come, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born Jesus. Now, Paul fleshes out his name. He tells us more about him. He tells us he's a descendant of David. As to his human fleshly nature, Jesus comes from his mother Mary. And through Mary, he comes from Mary's ancestral mother and father, Adam and Eve. This is part of what it means to be Jesus, to be Savior. Because it's through the flesh that we inherited the sin of our first parents, isn't it? The fact that I was born a human being, born of Adam, born of Eve, means that I was born spiritually dead. It's mean that I was born corrupt. It means that I was born without faith, without love toward God, or any of these things. And so it was in the flesh that I inherited from Adam and Eve that I inherited their sin. It's likewise in the flesh inherited from them that salvation must come. As the Bible says, as sin came through a man, and death through sin, also righteousness comes through a man, and salvation through him. And so it is that Jesus humbled himself to become human so that in our humanity, he could take the sins of mankind upon himself. He could take the flesh of humanity to himself and so save us. As it says in the letter to the Hebrews, both the one who makes men holy, who's that? That's Jesus, right? And those who are made holy, that's human beings who by faith have been given righteousness. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus is Savior in order to save his own family, because he's become our brother. All this is contained and packed into that name. All the good that we've failed to do, all of our sins that we've committed in our humanity, that same humanity we share with Christ. And in that humanity, in our humanity, Jesus, on the other hand, was good and chaste and obedient and reverent and truthful and kind and compassionate. He was, in every way, perfectly righteous, a perfectly righteous human being. But as Paul goes on to elucidate and to elaborate on who this Jesus is, we find that he is more than our brother. Were he only a brother, what hope would that give us? If I were to say to you, well, okay, guys, I volunteer my righteousness for you. Well, you didn't have to know me very long to say that's a lost cause. So we find that Jesus is not only our brother, he is more. He's God the Son. As Isaiah had prophesied, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. And Matthew is quick to make sure that his non-Hebrew readers know what that means. Emmanuel, he says, means God with us. Earlier, Isaiah had declared, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So this is the one who has redeemed us, who's bought us back to himself. This is the one whose we are, whose divinity, Paul says, is proclaimed by his victory over death itself. Through the Spirit of holiness, Paul says, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That's what he said he would do, and that's what he did, because he was human enough to die, truly human. But because he was divine, in dying, he conquered death. This is the one whose we are. And Paul then sums it all up. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus the Christ, actually, if you look at it in the Greek. Jesus is Savior. And Christ is a title. So it's the Christ, that is, the Anointed One. Jesus was, of all the human beings in all the world, the only one chosen to be your substitute. The only one anointed as prophet to perfectly proclaim the ways of God to man. As priest, to offer up the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And of course, you know what that sacrifice was, don't you? The Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins." And he was anointed as our King, the one who rules and governs all things for the good of the church, the one who rules us through his pure word. And he is Jesus Christ, and Paul says, our Lord. Paul sometimes says the Lord, because he is Lord of all. But in this particular circumstances, he says he is our Lord, the one to whom we belong because he bought us, the one who has redeemed us so that we are now his. He bought us, if you will, at the slave market of sin, only instead of buying us to make us his slave, he bought us to adopt us as his own children, as his brothers, children of the Heavenly Father. So if we know who Jesus is, Paul's telling us that we also can learn who we are because of what he's made us. He's made us Christians. He has made us recipients and possessors of Christ and of his unmerited and undeserved love. And you also are among those, Paul says, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God. But, of course, this letter, we understand, was sent and commanded to be sent to the whole world. To all in the world who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace are given to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Through no merit of your own, you have received the merits of Christ. Through no goodness of your own, you have received the goodness of Christ. Through no virtue of your own, you are counted virtuous before God with the virtues of Jesus Christ. And as God says of him, this is my beloved son, so he says of you, because you're his sister, his brother, you too are beloved of God and approved and accepted. The eternal fellowship of God is now yours in time and eternity. Whose are we? We belong to Jesus, the gracious. Who are we? Now, we are those who by grace through faith have received the righteousness of God. This is whose we are. This is who we are. And I want you to reflect on this in a very special way right now. There's a way to emphasize this that I think may resonate you with you at this time in the world and at this time in our lives. We live, as many of you will realize, in a time of apostasy, in an age of apostasy, of falling away from Christianity. And when we think of whose we are and who we are, think about what that actually means. It doesn't mean that people are falling away from the commandments. Nobody ever gets away from judgment. When you leave Christianity, you don't get away from rules. You don't get away from the commands of God. And we live in a world in which we're surrounded with blame and bear the shame that goes with it. Even when we justify ourselves, say, I didn't do anything wrong, it was the other guy. What are we doing? We're appealing to a standard. We're appealing to a commandment. All right, maybe it acquits me today, but tomorrow, it convicts me. When people depart from the Christian faith, when they depart from Christ, when they depart from Jesus, they don't fall away from the law. They fall away from grace. That's the saddest thing of all. When people fall away from Christ, they fall away from mercy into blame. They fall away from an innocence that's given to them to a shame that they deserve. They fall away from forgiveness and remission of sins to a pretense of righteousness and a guilt that we cannot rub out. So God grant that on this day of the naming of our Savior Jesus. We remember that by his name, we know who he is as our Savior, whose we are, and what he has made us by redeeming us. We are now saved, beloved children with him of the Heavenly Father. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.